Good afternoon, Juno, and welcome back. And we are just going to jump right into our topics for today. If you are just joining us, we are going to be covering some current events that are happening in Black culture and just have a roundtable discussion about how everyone is doing during the holidays, talk about some of the important events that have been going on lately, and just have a free conversation amongst friends. So just starting off, I think the biggest news is our vice president-elect, Kamala Harris, being that she is a woman and a person of color. So I just wanted to ask everybody, how did you feel about that? How was it when we finally got the election results and you discovered that we had a vice president-elect who was going to be a woman of color? Did it make you feel a certain way? Did it change your views on where the country is going or how we're moving forward? Anybody want to talk about that first?
Well, this is Christina, and I will say that I think that it's awesome. I'm happy about it, but I haven't really processed how I feel or what I think it means to us as Black people or what I think it means to us as a country. But I am excited about it. I think it's something that we thought wasn't going to happen for a long time. So I feel like it's something that kind of snuck up on us and we're like, what? Oh, we're here already? Okay. So yeah, that's kind of how I'm seeing it.
Thank you, Christina. Would anybody else like to say something?
I was absolutely ecstatic about it. I'm a political nerd, so I watch way too much news. Read newspapers. I've followed her ever since because I'm from California. So she was the AG in California. So she did, in my opinion, she did a lot of really good things. She had some controversy, of course, but overall, I thought she was great. She is a prosecutor's prosecutor. I've seen her work in Congress. And you just don't want to be on the other side of her cases. She's just tough. And I think that she knows what she wants. I think she's a great role model for girls of any persuasion, any race, we're getting there, and she's smart and she's knowledgeable and she's great. I was super, super excited.
Oh, that's good. Jacoby, how about you? How did you feel about it?
I thought it was amazing, to be honest with you. I thought it was amazing. Coming from the South, coming from Texas, at my house, we just never thought anybody Black would be in the White House.
Right.
That alone, the president, and now a vice president, I thought it was just amazing. I can remember my grandmother. And ain't no Black person gonna be in the White House, pushes in that direction, that let me feel like I can do it. And now that she's coming, from a Jamaican background, Indian background also, because we don't talk about that. We don't talk about
the fact,
that she has Indian descent and all this good stuff. And I watched an interview with her uncle the other day, and he was talking about how he couldn't wait to come and see his niece in the White House. And it's just amazing.
That's awesome.
To me. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to actually see this type of thing happen. And for Joe Biden to give her a chance in America deciding that's what they want to do is just amazing. That's how I feel about that.
Right.
And I know that it's super... everybody wants to say, oh, she's the first Black, vice president, Black woman, mm-hmm. Black. I was like, but she's actually biracial,
right.
And that makes it even more incredible,
Right.
And it's not Caucasian,
right.
She's Indian and it's incredible. Absolutely incredible. I love it.
Yeah. I was super excited too. And I was surprised how little conversation there was about it within the Black community. I think that there was such heated arguments about the presidential race that we didn't even take the time to really look at this moment in history where not only is she a woman, but she's a woman and she's a person of color. Like, that is just crazy, you know, that she's going to be the first woman to hold a level that high in our government. And that's just incredible. And it's sad that we had that was overshadowed by this election that we had and all of the things that people were saying and doing. And, you know, even if she wasn't your candidate, if you didn't vote for her, there's something to be proud of there, that you, that we are a country that has caught up with many other countries who have elected women, that we have finally in 2020 elected a woman to be in the White House. So I was just ecstatic, you know, that it's something that we can do. I can remember being in college and a man telling me, like, there'll never be a woman in the White House. The women can't handle the White House. And then to see from, you know, when I was in college some years ago, that that has changed in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
It's just incredible to see where we have come, and it's exciting to see where we're going to go. You know, nothing is off limits at this point for women and for women of color. So, okay, moving on. Another hot topic, I think, in our community is the COVID vaccine. How are we feeling about the COVID vaccine? Is anybody going to get it? Is anybody not sure? Is anybody waiting their turn? Does anybody think it's never going to happen? How are we feeling about that? Nima, do you want to start out?
Well, it'll get here. Definitely not soon enough. I'm just so tired of waking up every morning to just the numbers, the numbers, the numbers. You know, they're always higher every single day. And it just, I always feel just like, gosh, it can't come soon enough. I know, you know, on the news, it's like, oh, it's here, it's here. It's, you know, but in reality, when it comes down, you know, to, you know, people who aren't in the critical areas, you know, like people over 80 or medical professionals, I mean, it's not going to trickle down to folks like maybe you or me till maybe, I think they're saying sometime in the spring. So yeah, it's coming. And I just have to keep my fingers crossed that there are no adverse effects. I mean, I would get it, you know, I would, you know, so, but since I'm probably going to be, hopefully, knock wood, I'll be one of those people who are down the road, you know, we'll see by maybe in spring, you know, if there have been any adverse side effects that have been recorded or something by that time, they can work the kinks out, you know, I'm hoping. But, you know, it's a blessing because we just can't keep going on like this. So something's got to give.
Yeah. Jacoby, what do you think? What are your feelings about the COVID vaccine?
I think it's great. And I will be one of the ones to get it as soon as I possibly can, because I work, you know, I'm a delivery driver, so I'm out delivering every single day and I'm working with people and coming in contact with people constantly. So I definitely will get it. And I also look at it like this. I mean, this time last year, or what, March, or however long ago it was, we had nothing. We had nothing in the veins of helping us. When we just didn't know what to do, it was just stay in the house, you know, don't wash your hands, do whatever. And now they actually have a vaccine, you know. It's like, dude, even if you don't think it's gonna work, at least try it. I mean, it's better than what we had a few months ago, which was nothing, you know. So I will be one of those ones that take it and run down the street screaming loud as I can. Thank you, Jesus. I got it, you know.
Thank you, Jacoby. Christina, Michelle, what do you think?
I think womp, 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 womp. I have been actually saying that a lot lately, and I'm saying it about this. I'm not a fan. Not that I don't think that it's ever going to be something that I will consider, but I will not be in the first round of people to get it. you know, especially because we're still required to mask and to practice social distancing and hand washing and all of that stuff. And so, you know, it, for me, it doesn't make much of a difference at work. We're testing every other week. You know, we're testing our patients here in inpatient residential treatment. And so I'm okay with waiting a few months to see how it plays out. So that's just my personal view on it. I just, you know, I'm already super hesitant about vaccines anyway. I actually had never had a vaccination for anything that wasn't like, you know, absolutely required legally until I started working at Bartlett. And we had to have, well, we didn't have to have the flu vaccine, but, you know, we're strongly encouraged to get it. I had never had a flu vaccine before until I started working here. And so I'm just not a big vaccine person in the first place. So it's not just COVID. I'm not one of those people like, no, we're all going to turn into zombies and horses. But it's just in general, if I can keep from, you know, taking a vaccine that's not mandatory, then I'm probably going to.
Thank you, Christina. And that's okay for you to be where you are.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Michael, how do you feel about the COVID vaccine? Do you think you'll get it? Do you want to get it? What are you feeling about that?
Well, I would love to get it. I really would. But my feeling is strongly that the first people out the gate usually get hit. And what I'm trying to say is those first people getting the vaccine, who knows what the reactions are going to be. And that thing got pushed way too fast for me. I feel like anything else that is put out for public consumption, specifically vaccinations, is usually tested and retested. And there are all sorts of different lab results and stuff that will come from it. And then they do it again. And then they, all that doesn't happen in no 10 months. Like, I don't see how something that has come so quickly is going to be so readily available. And then everybody's going to take it. We're all going to be better with no side effects. So will I take it? Now? No, absolutely not, without question. I don't care who is going to, I don't care who takes it and has a positive reaction. It just doesn't matter to me because I'm going to need to stay a little bit more time for something like that. Maybe after, I don't know, a year or so, and they've been giving this with not a whole lot of issues, or with any issues would be ideal, then maybe I will. And if it seems to be having the effect that they're hoping it will. Till then, nah, it's just too quick. It's too quick, and I don't feel like I can trust anything that happened so fast. It seems like it was rushed through, and things that are typically rushed through shouldn't get approved that quickly, regardless of the need. I mean, what are we at, 60, 70, 80 years after polio? And that's the only one we can cure. And polio took a really long time for them to get in the first place, and the first round of people that took polio didn't quite make it, if anybody knows what I mean. So, yeah, I think I'll wait. That's just my personal feeling.
Yeah, and I think I agree that, you know, I know that there's a massive need for it, but I do feel like it's kind of rolling the dice. I feel like it's like, you know what, we need something, and the alternative is that the numbers keep going up and we keep having adverse effects from people getting infected. I get that. You know, so it's, I'm not against it, and I'm not looking at anybody who does want to take it any kind of way. It's just, you know, for me personally,
I feel like our responses here, like we had two people who were and two people who weren't, that's pretty much where it is. Like, it's like half the people are like, yeah, I'm going to take it no matter what.
Yeah.
And then the other half are like, no, I'm not taking it. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out and to see if, you know, the brave souls who go first help eradicate it so that the other souls don't have to take it, or, right, you know, are the brave souls going to go first and then the other souls are going to be like, oh, so they did okay, we'll be okay. So it'll be interesting. I think it's a interesting thing to discuss. We've discussed it amongst our family. And I think even amongst our family, some of us are kind of like, okay, we're going to do it. And some of us are like, no, we're not. So that's interesting.
It's all about risk a little bit, right? Yeah. Risk. If you don't have to, then I feel like it's not really something necessary. And if you have to, it's a mitigated risk that you're willing to take. But for me, it's we don't have to take it. So I don't want to. But if I was in a different situation, I totally can understand. We need to take this, and the first opportunity I get, I'm going to. So like Christina said, I don't look any kind of way at somebody else spending. Of course, you know, that's what you do for you and your family. But for me, I'll pass for a little while.
And then like for me, it's the fact that I come in contact with at least maybe two to 300 people a day.
So, oh, see, that's a huge factor.
Yeah, that's completely
so
different.
For me, I'm rolling the dice every time I go to drop off a package. I'm talking face to face with these people, and I can't stay 6 feet from these people.
Yeah.
I have to hand you your package. I have to make sure your package is yours, stuff like that. So for me, I'd rather, it's like having a headache and thinking, you know, well, I don't know if this Tylenol is going to work, but I'm going to take this Tylenol anyway, just in case. That's how it is for me.
Right.
I can get tested all day long, but if I catch it, then what do I do from there?
Yeah,
you know, so exactly.
If I got an opportunity to take it, then, you know, and then also it's about not spreading it also.
Yeah.
So if there's a thing that can knock it back, if I have it and I take the vaccine, then I won't be spreading it to the 200 to 300 people that I meet a day. That's why I get it that way. But I understand where you guys come from too. Because if I didn't have to, if I was staying at home or in a job where I didn't come in contact with people like this, I wouldn't worry about it either. Because I'm like Christina, I don't really take any vaccines or anything. Like, I've never had a flu shot, so I understand exactly where you're coming from.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. And just a little bit talking still about COVID. I know here in Juneau, it's rumored that our kids will start going back to school in early January. And I was just wondering, how do you guys feel about kids going back to school? I know in some places they've already gone back to school. But here in Juneau, our kids haven't gone back to school. And there are still places where kids aren't in school at all. And it seems like kids being at home working is affecting children of color more than anybody else, because they tend to come from, you know, lower income neighborhoods and they don't have a parent at home, and it's just becoming a real issue. Well, at the same time, we want to keep our kids safe and not put them in school. So how are you guys feeling about kids going back to school?
I'm really torn, like right down the middle. I don't have children, so it doesn't like affect me as dramatically as somebody, of course, who has children. I don't know how people do it who have kids who have to work from home and still parent and still do school. And I don't know how they do it. I'm like, God bless you. I have to take care of myself and that's it, you know? So in that respect, you know, I've seen friends and coworkers who are just struggling with that, you know, with having to work from home, but still having the kids right next to them, you know, trying to do it. So, and, it's just like with them being out of school, they're falling behind, you know, essentially they've missed an entire year of school. You can only do so much on a computer via Zoom. God bless our teachers.
Yes.
Our teachers have stepped up above and beyond to make these classroom situations work. I don't think our teachers are getting nearly enough credit as they should be getting. So in that respect, I would love the kids to go back to school, but in the other hand, I'm concerned about our teachers, our administrators, our, you know, teachers' aides, you know, I'm concerned about them, you know, and stuff, and them potentially getting the virus and them taking it home to their families. And so I don't know what the big overall answer is, especially from someone who, like me, who doesn't have children, it doesn't affect, you know, as dramatically as somebody who has children at home. But that's just my two cents. I'm drawn right down the middle.
Yeah.
Well, I, uh, if,
Sorry, did I just chime in?
No, without raising my hand.
Sorry, Nima, to kind of answer your question, very, very, very carefully. That's how a person does it from home. It's a tough call because our son, he's 13. So he's old enough to not want to be with mom and dad all the time. Not quite old enough that you're guaranteeing that he's going to follow the rules necessarily and be as safe as he should be. And so you worry about sending him there and, you know, are they really going to be wearing face masks? Is it possible to do that? But at the same time, a 13-year-old kid needs to be social and needs to have some interaction with people his own age. And then, like you said as well, it's going to get that one-on-one or even that right there in the same classroom sort of attention from their teacher. And so you got to kind of weigh all of that. Me personally, I'm pretty, I'd say definitely actually decided I don't want my son to go. But trying to weigh that against, I guess my mind is open to changing. Should this be something they're willing to do? But I don't want my son to go back to school yet because not enough has changed for me where there's facts where this virus is concerned between the time they stopped school and now to send him and say, it's okay, we have to worry about him not only getting himself sick, getting bringing it home, us bringing it to grandparents, us, you know, and then spreading it that way. So it's a tough call. You got to think about what they want, but at the same time, try to make the most prudent decision. And it's tough. I wish it didn't have to, but we'll see. Hopefully, this vaccine works as well as they say it does, and hopefully, it works quickly and definitively. So.
Jacoby, did you want to share your thoughts on that?
Quite honestly, my kids are grown and out the house. And one is in the military, the other is in college and doing their own thing. So to be honest with you, I hadn't really thought about it in that manner, in the manner of people having to deal with that. And also at the same time, I'm of the mind frame of, I hear a lot of people complaining about having to take care of their children and be around their children and do what they have to. I understand it gets stressful, but at the same time, in my opinion, my grandmother used to say, if you don't want it, you shouldn't have it. And that's the way I look at it. It's like, these are your children. How are you getting that bothered by raising your kids? No matter what, if the schools were down and gone, you still would have to raise your children. So it doesn't matter if they're at home or at school. This is what you got to do, you know? And so that's the way I look at it. I'm sorry if that rubs people the wrong way, but that's just how I look at it. I mean, they're your kids. You had them until they're 18. You're going to be responsible for them. So it's just do what you got to do. Do what you got to do.
I don't know if being responsible for them is what that is, though. I mean, you have less affluent families that with their kids at home, their kids aren't getting school meals. Their kids aren't getting some of the stuff that they need that are provided by the school that they can't afford. And they have to make the decision based on that. Not just about, oh, I don't want to be around my kid. Like, it's not about necessarily about
that. No, that's true.
And I wouldn't get to look at that.
And I would ask this question. I understand that's one of those things that's happening. I would ask the question, what do you do when your kids are not How do you adjust to that? And so I would say the way to adjust to that during the summertime, adjust to that now. You know, whatever it is you have to do. And I'm not knocking anybody hard up because I will empty my pockets to help somebody. So I'm not knocking anybody. I understand, but my question is just how do you adjust to that? You know, and when the kids are not in school, how do you adjust to that? Take that you do before the COVID happened and apply it to what's going on now. But now you just know that there's a different aspect into this that you have to work around also. So that's how I look at it. And again, I'm not bashing anybody or knocking down anybody. That's just the way I look at it. You know, I got lucky. My kids got before the COVID, I'm just saying.
Thank you, Jacoby. Christina, what do you think? Do you have any opinions about it?
I do not. No. I don't. I think God bless all the parents and all the teachers, because you know, I can't imagine having to make that decision. And I know it's a hard one, and I support whatever decision a parent makes because it's the one that they believe is best for their children and for their family. And I think you have to go with what you believe is right for you, and that's the right decision.
Political.
Can I say real quick though that if my kids were in school at this time, I would have them at home.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I feel blessed that I have children and that I'm working from home, so I have that option of sending them or not sending them at this time. But when you look at the statistics of only 1 in 5 Black families have a parent who works from home, and only 1 in 6 Hispanic families has someone that works from home, children of color are at home by themselves going to school while their parents are at work. That's the reality, majority of them. That is the reality. And we're already at a disadvantage in our educational system. And I don't know that this is necessarily helping. As they're at home, a 5 and 6 years old, sitting in front of a computer by themselves. So I just think that that's something to think about. I definitely recognize that it's a blessing that I can work from home for now while my kids are in school. But I recognize that there are people who need to send their kids to school as well. And with that, we are going to take a short break, and we will return in just a few moments, and we will lighten the conversation a little bit and talk about what's going on with the holidays. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be right back.